Welcome to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I'm Simona McNeil, a freedom from fear and visibility coach who helps women outsmart fear, doubt, and shame so they can go from dreamer to doer, one small action at a time. I'll be your host over the next 4 days, and I'm so excited to share these 20 plus interviews with you. Throughout these interviews, you'll be introduced to some amazing women of God. These are real women sharing their very real stories and experiences with fear, doubt, and shame, and how they overcame them. Together, we want to help you detox your thoughts, debunk the lies, and transform your life. Freedom is yours for the taking. While this event was created by Christian women for Christian women, this is a judgment-free zone where everyone is welcome. Think of these sessions as less of a finger-wagging soliloquy and more of a conversation between friends that we're inviting you to join in on. I'm so excited to hear about the growth, ahas, and transformation that come from this week's summit. Listen in. Welcome back to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I am your host, Simona McNeil, and today I'm joined by Yvonne Morgan. Yvonne takes readers on a journey of faith, hope, and love while providing encouragement through her word. She shares about her trust in the power of prayer, and as a seasoned traveler and devoted Christian, she shares her own personal experiences of witnessing the miraculous work of Christ in her life. She is a captivating storyteller, and I'm so excited for you to just hear her testimony and her experience. Yvonne, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
We're so excited to have you. I would love to just dive into the many questions that I have for you about how you came to start your work. And I know that it's going to fall back onto your story. But before I get too carried away, I do want to remind today's listeners of your session topic, and we'll start there. So you are talking about overcoming doubt to fulfill our purpose. How did you come up with that talk title?
And that talk title has, it's my life. So it became very apparent many years ago that the first part of my life, I doubted lots of things, and some things happened that led me on to realizing that without God, I'm nothing. And if I follow him, he's going to take me on a journey that no one could have scripted out for me. And it has just been an amazing time with him. Even though sometimes there's still some doubt and fears in there, I'm learning, especially as I look back over my life, he's got me, and wherever he goes, if I follow, I'm going to be okay through it all.
I love that. And that's so good. As you were talking, I just kept thinking of in John, where it says that he is the vine and we are the branches. And apart from him, we can do nothing. That was one of the scriptures that came up for me. And the other one that came up is Romans 8:28, which I'm sure is like everyone's favorite, right?
And that is my life verse.
I love that. Okay. You mentioned that you had some experiences with doubt that, of course, helped you grow closer to God. But tell us a little bit more about how doubt impacted your life and how that influenced your relationship with God. Take us behind the veil and tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay. It all started, growing up, I always went to church with my family. That was a regular. Went off to college. You get separated from Christ, for most of us, not everybody, in that time frame. And then I got married. Life was going along just as normal. There wasn't a lot of faith. I knew God existed. I believed in him, but there wasn't a lot of outward signs of faith. Fast forward to 1993, our third child, our son, was born, and 9 days later, he passed away from birth defects. Left me with a lot of doubts. It's okay, Lord, why? Probably I have a little journal I kept during that time, and I have many pages of just the word why written across those. Lord, why would you allow this to happen? I believed in you. I followed you, maybe not as closely as I should have. Lord, I'm one of your children. Why would you let this happen? And a lot of doubt crept into my life at that point. Went through a couple of years of just extreme depression and sadness. There were a lot of issues in the marriage because of that. One of the things as we were reading and trying to keep everything together, our life with our kids, our marriage, I forget the exact statistic, but 80-85% of marriages fall apart in after this situation. It is, Lord, why did you heap all of these problems onto our lives? And so just dealt with that. Why are, went to the doctor at probably at about a year and a half, 2 years after his death, said to my doctor, I just don't feel good. When we talked, and he said, you're depressed. And it's, and I have learned differently now, but it's, nope, I'm not the type of person that would get depressed. And he laughed. You have situational depression. You went through a traumatic experience. When we worked through that, and depression is real. I don't mean that I, for me, I did not think I could be a person that was depressed. So that just added to the doubt, the fears. It's, Lord, have you abandoned me? Have you left me? Why? And why is this happening? So it was just an extreme. Several years went through this. And finally, one day we were back at church. We still tried to go. We weren't as consistent because it was the only place I could go where I found some peace, just being in the sanctuary. And it's like a lot, I felt like my prayers hit the ceiling and bounced back a lot of the time, but I felt a peace there that didn't always understand. And so we kept going, and it was time for our annual church meeting, and it's, they did a big potluck, and it's like, went to that because the feeling was, I can go to potluck. I don't have to cook. I have to prepare a dish, but I don't have to make a whole meal. Okay, let's go. Just makes my life easier. And while during part of the meeting, they talked about a mission trip to Haiti. And it's like, just that small, still voice said, I want you to go. And I looked around because it was such an audible voice. And I looked around, it's no, not something I've ever thought about doing, not something that was ever in my plan. And my idea of roughing it, as my husband used to say, was going to a Holiday Inn. Mission trip is not something I felt called to go, but just that little voice kept nagging at me. And my husband came back. He had walked away from the table for a little bit and came back. And I was like, this presentation on Haiti, I'm really feeling God is saying, go do this. And he laughed. I must admit, he laughed. You're not up for that. And, yeah, I know. And so went to some of the meetings early on and just really felt God saying, this is what I need you to do. I signed up. My husband did not. And long story short, I ended up going on my first mission trip to Haiti. And this was back in 97. Cell phones weren't as big as they are now. So once we landed in Haiti, my husband did not hear from me for 10 days because there was no phone. There was no way to keep in contact. And once I came back from that trip, he said, I never want you to go on a trip like that without me again. If you do any more of these, I will go with you. And that was the beginning of healing of the doubts, because God showed me so many things on that trip to say, trust in me. I have you and I have a purpose for you. And if you will just trust what I'm doing and give up your doubts, I will show you what that plan is. And here we are all these years later, what, 27, 28 years later, still trusting him and following the plan he has and trusting that it is a plan that is better than anything I could have come up with for myself.
I love that. I love all of that. Before I start asking you or bombarding you with questions, I do want to take a moment just to extend my condolences for your son.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing that with us. I know that it had a purpose in this conversation. So thank you. I was laughing so hard over here when you mentioned the part about Holiday Inn. I think we're kindred spirits. My husband would probably say the same thing. Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that resonated.
I love that part of the story too, because God can no matter who you are or what you are, he can change you so totally that people don't recognize who you are anymore. And that's an amazing thing.
It sure is. Amen to that. As you were speaking, And as you were talking about some of your responses to God, I was sitting over here nodding my head because I've been there before. I'm sure all of us can attest to that. How many of us have experienced something? And our immediate question for the Lord is, why? Right?
Always, yes.
Yeah. But I love what you said. You took it a step further, you started journaling. Now, while the word why came up often, you also got some revelations during that time. The Lord started teaching you about doubt, started walking you through doubt. Can you share some more about that part of your testimony?
We all have doubts because we want our world to revolve around us. And through the years now, I have learned, and in my writings, the world revolves around God and it doesn't revolve around us. And the one thing he started doing is opening my eyes to see that when things happen in our lives, we can say, oh, woe is me, but we have to stop and it's okay, Lord, what are you using this for? And he doesn't allow bad things to happen, but how we use them shows us a lot about what God has planned for our lives during that. And I'll get back to that time, but just like the other day, we were driving and a deer ran out in front of us and hit our car, and we have damage. Nobody was hurt. And I thought about it. We can take those moments of our lives in doubt and always say, why, God? But instead, it's okay, what is your purpose in this? You kept me alive. You have a bigger plan, and I've got to look at where that plan is and how I fit into it. And we met so many people through that period of years of the mourning, other families that lost children. I remember one particular day, our pastor from our church calling me, and he goes, you may not know these people, but their daughter just died. It was a stillborn death. I need you to come up to the hospital with me. And so you can talk to them. And it's okay, but what do I say? And he's, you've been through this. What would you have wanted people to say to you? And so I did. I went up to the hospital with them and talked to the family. And we are now very close friends. Those experiences, I started seeing God has that kind of purpose. I can share my story to with somebody to help them get through their time to get to their godly purpose. Another time, I got asked to attend a funeral for a young child, and I was able to talk to the family because I have an experience. I always pray, one of my prayers is, Lord, please don't let any other family go through this, but we know it's going to happen, and it's let me be that instrument to help. And it's just, then I started seeing how I can use that to help others, not just those who lost children, but to encourage others that we all have a purpose in this life, and you have to keep your eyes open. God is doing things in our lives to put us in places to accomplish His will. And I remember doing a talk one time, and you have to remember everything we do is for the one. And I've got to keep that focus. And it's like when things happen, okay, the one, what do you have in store from this experience? How can I use it to help others? And then eventually, all of this years of mission trip and connecting with people. We've done 25 years of mission where I've connected with people in many parts of the world and been able to help them understand that God has a purpose in their lives and to focus on that instead of the why did this happen to me? And it has been such a blessing. We always joke, we have developed an organization that helps orphans in many parts of the world. And we lost one child, but through all that, God has given me hundreds of kids around the world that call us mom and dad. And what bigger blessing can that be
That's beautiful.
than to say, okay, Lord, I lost one. You replaced them with hundreds. I'm
Yes.
blessed. I am blessed by it.
Beyond measure.
Yep. And it's by keeping focus on not the poor, pitiful me, but the one. What do you want me to do with this?
Was there anything that you went through that taught you how to reframe your circumstances like this? Because I can imagine you don't just come to it overnight. Can you share those practical tips with our listeners?
Yes. Lots and lots of prayer, staying connected through church and through friends. There are so many things that happen on mission trips that allowed me to always look back and see God's hand in things. I was just working on a blog today, finalizing it, and it reminded me of a story. When we first started doing these mission trips, I was afraid to fly. We had an experience as I was a young adult, a teenager, where we had a plane dropped thousands of feet with us on. It scared me to death. So I'm t was terrified of flying. And so on these mission trips, you're not generally going to the big airports. You fly into Nairobi, great, big airport, big airplanes. But then you have to get to the areas where you're going to do the work. And they're little prop planes, which the smaller the plane, the worse I feel. And the plane bounces, then drops, and scares me to death. And on one of the trips, I said, you know what? We're going to take a train back to Nairobi because I can't keep doing this. It's scaring me too much. And we did. And the train derailed about halfway back. It was going very slowly, so nobody was hurt or anything. And I remember the minute it derailed, that little voice saying, you got to keep trusting me in this stuff. And I can look back through the years and see those things. And that's what keeps me going. I remember not long after our son, his name was William, passed away. We were back in visiting my family in Ireland, and there's this little rope bridge that's a big tourist thing. It's called Carrickarede. And I've done it all my life. I love it. It's one of those little bouncy bridges that if you're not holding on, you're going over the edge. And it was always fun. Now I'm here with my two daughters. I've lost our son, and I'm looking at it. Look, and okay, this one will make me tear up. And I remember saying to God, can I trust you with my children's life? And thinking, this is a moment where I either give them to you or I never trust you again. And so I sat down on the hill by the bridge and said, okay, Lord, I give them to you. And I did. And we all went across and all got back safely. But there are those moments where you have to stop and say, either I'm all in or I'm not. And it's not, it's a moment by moment. But I knew at that moment I had to be all in. And that was one of the big moments. And I look back at that. And he did keep us safe. He has kept us safe for years on the planes, in the situations. And so looking back and seeing where God was in those moments keeps me moving forward to say, I can trust him and I can put my doubts away and keep trusting him and keep in prayer and just keep moving forward.
Amen. I thank him for being such a promise keeper. As a mom myself, I get all of the emotions that just came up for you because I've had to be there. I've gone through that myself. I have two of my children have been diagnosed with ADHD, and one of them has it to the point where he does not sleep at night. Like he might sleep for 3 hours,
Oh,
but his
wow.
brain just wakes back up, right? So he'll sleep for 3 hours, stint, want to be on video games, fall back asleep, and right before, like, he has to get on the bus. And so for a while, before I got closer to God, I used to take that on myself and want to fix it, right? And so the answer to fix that would be me staying up incredibly late to make sure that he stayed asleep or he went back to sleep. When we both know that's not my job, God created me as a human and I need rest. The only one who doesn't need sleep is him. And so once I grew closer to him, my mentor, Rima, was telling me, like, you have to surrender everything to God. And I was like, woman, you might as well just said something in German because I don't know. What does that mean? What does that look like? And she was like, you have to give him everything. Give him your children, give him your marriage. And as she walked me through that and taught me how to do that, I had to go through that very same prayer that you just shared with us, where I was like, God, he's your child. You gave him to me, but he's not mine. He's yours. And the, even though I have that knowledge that he, my son is God's, it was still painful because I was like, they're my babies. Can I trust you with this? So I get that emotion that just came up for you. And I thank you for sharing that part of your testimony with our listeners because I can imagine while this event is for Christian women, there are going to be some Christian moms who are struggling with that,
Oh,
who might
yeah.
have doubt that God can be over their parenting, be over their relationship with their children. And it's my prayer that this part of your testimony is what God is using to set them free from that.
Amen. And as we doubt, I think I had one lady help me too through the years, and she was an amazing woman, a mentor, and she would say things to start small. When you doubt, start small in listening to God. And she was so funny. She'd I'll go into a grocery store and I'll stand and look at all the cards, birthday, anniversary, all those. And I'll let God speak to me and say, you know what, pick up that card. And I don't, and she would say, I have no reason. I don't know what the purpose is for this. But she said, I'd have it. And it never failed. Sometime down the road, a situation would occur. Somebody got sick, and I'd have the perfect card for it already. And we can learn to give God our doubts by listening to the small things and trusting Him and going and doing those small things and watching what He does with them. And that's a great way to overcome it. She'd also go to the point of she'd go to the grocery store and she might hear God say, pick up an extra gallon of milk. And then maybe on the way home, saw mom standing on the corner begging for food. It's, do you need a gallon of milk for your kids? And he knows we have doubts. He knows our fears. And he will help us work through those little by little till you get to the big points. And then when you can, then at those moments, you can look back and say, God, you were faithful in this. God, you were faithful in that. Okay, I can do this. I can move forward.
That is so good. You haven't said it directly, Yvonne, but you have said it as you shared your testimony today. Talk us through the importance of trusting God to overcome doubt.
It's so important. And I still go through periods of doubt. We went through all these years of mission work, and it's okay, Lord, I'm doing your thing. Okay, we're good. We're good. And then one day, many about 8, 9, 10 years ago, again, I started feeling this nudging of God. And He said, I want you to write down these stories of what I have done in your life. This time I laughed because it's okay, I grew up, I'm an accountant by trade before we retired, and that is, Lord, English was never my strong suit. So it's, Lord, how can you call somebody that has no writing skills, never thought of this, to do something like this? And I did the thing the Bible says not to do. It's, okay, Lord, if this is really you, I need someone else to confirm it because I'm doubting you at this point. So the voice stopped. And about a month later, we're sitting in the living room, never told any of this to my husband or anybody else because it's God. How could you call me to do writing? Because this is not my thing. And my husband looked over at me and said, how is that book coming? And immediately I burst into tears because I knew at that point, and I told him the whole story. And his comment was, I guess you're writing a book. And I have no clue what to do, Lord. So I got into prayer. It's okay, Lord, if this is what you want from me, I give it to you. I will write it, but you're in charge of the getting it edited. You're in charge of getting it published. I will do the part you called me to do, and I'll write it. But what happens after that is totally up to you. And it's just that constant communication with God and being honest and saying, Lord, I doubt this. I am not a writer, but okay, I will try. And we'll see where this goes. And it's continually finding ways to trust Him, give Him your doubts. And I say, when He first nudged me, I laughed and said, no way, God, this is not what you want me to do. 7 books later, because I wrote the first one, which is an autobiography of our mission work, it's okay, Lord, I'm done. I did my part. We're good. Let's not do that again, because I learned so much from that journey. And now, like I said, 7 books later, and then book number 8 coming out later this year, it's okay, what a journey. And I can look back and say, I can see where my doubts were, but I can see what He's accomplished in my life and say, okay, keep going if this is what you want. And we check before I blog weekly, before each blog, it's, Lord, what do you need me to write about? And the one thing in through all of this is I can't worry about what happens with what I say, what I write. It's in God's hand. Because that first book, the editor that did it, edited the book for me, came back and she said, "I'm not a Christian. I edited this book for you," she said, "but something in this book has spoken to me, and I need to get back into church to find out what God's got for me." And
God is
that
good.
God is good. And I knew at that moment, if that book never sold, that's what God intended. And so you have to look beyond yourself and do the things he ha you feel him calling you to do, because it's his purpose. And like I said, each time I write, I double check, okay, are we on the right path? What do you need me to do? And it's just a constant prayer life of saying and reading and following him and being in church to say, I'm here. What do you need from me?
That's so good. Such a great reminder. There's one thing I wanted to circle back to before I close out today's interview, and it's the part where you mentioned that you asked for confirmation. And so, if there's anyone under the sound of our voices who finds themselves asking for confirmation, I want to remind you of the story of Gideon. Gideon experienced doubt. He asked the Lord for several signs. He asks for confirmation after confirmation. And so we have to remember to go to him boldly, just as Levon did, just as Gideon did, and really give language to those doubts versus harboring them. He knows our thoughts, he knows our hearts, right? We have to be willing to go to him and say, I need confirmation on this. It's when it's repetitive that I believe it becomes an issue. But just going to God and saying, God, I have doubts about this. Can you answer it this way? Or can you send it to me through this Sunday sermon? Because he is a good and faithful father and God, I have seen it within my life where, he's done that for me. So don't be afraid to ask him questions. I know in some circles that's frowned upon or cautioned, but you have to remember that we are in relationship with our Father. It's not a one-way dialogue or soliloquy from him. We are in communication with him and in relationship. So I just wanted to make sure I drove home that great example that you shared.
And if you're going to ask for confirmation, though, just know that you have to follow through,
Yes.
or you'll end up like Jonah.
Oh, such a good example. Yes. Oh my goodness, Yvonne, I could talk to you for hours. It has been such a blessing. Thank you for sharing your testimony. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. I know that everyone's going to be excited to stay in contact with you. So tell us, what's the easiest way to do that?
The easiest way is through my website, which is yvonne-morgan.com, because through there you can connect with my Facebook, all the social media accounts. And then you can see my books. My blog is on there each week. So it's just a good way to keep in contact, see what's going on in life, and know what my writings and what just more information about me.
And what free gift are you sharing with the community?
I would love to offer one of my seven, currently, hopefully eight books. I write a variety. My first one was the story of our mission work. I've written some nonfiction Bible studies, some children's books, and my latest book out there right now is a fiction. So I want to let somebody pick what they want. I don't want to just say, I'm going to offer this book because maybe you're not into Christian fiction. So they can pick one of any of my seven books that are currently available.
Love that. Will you be including anything within the marketplace?
Yes, I would love to offer my Gypsy for God, which is my fiction book, out there in the marketplace.
Again, Yvonne, thank you.